Welcome to the Leading the Best podcast, where we talk about leadership and personal development. The goal of this podcast is to bring you empowering perspective that will help you lead yourself and lead your team. I'm your host, Larry Davis, and I'm super excited to have you listening in today. It's going to be an amazing show as I seek to add value to you by giving you great content that offers both personal and professional growth. In this episode, I'm having a conversation with Candace May, and we talk about the importance of personal development, especially for leaders. All right, welcome to the Leading the Best podcast. Today we have a special guest. Our guest today is Candace May. Candace is a leadership and strategic business consultant. She trains executives and entrepreneurs with the tools needed for positive organizational change. Candace May holds a bachelor's degree from California Baptist University and a master's degree from the University of Redlands. She's a licensed affiliate and executive program certified with Maxwell Leadership Certified Team and is a certified communication and behavioral consultant. Her comprehensive approach builds high-performance business teams led by positive, engaging leaders. Candace is also an author. She has a new book coming out. It's called Heaven Within: Restoring Wholeness for Better Leadership. And so today, without further ado, Candace, she's going to share with us the importance of personal development, especially for leaders. So hi, Candace. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here today.
Yes, I'm glad to get a chance to have a conversation with you. I found out that we are both in the Maxwell Leadership Certified Team. So that was interesting to find that out.
That's exciting. I said,
I'm still fairly new. You're a veteran in the game. And so I definitely have a lot to learn from you.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to talk with you and your audience. And I'm super excited about my book, Heaven Within: Restoring Wholeness for Better Leadership. It's all about personal growth. It's all about how God uses our circumstances to shape us. And not only goes through various lessons from how the mind works, the systemic issues that we're experiencing in organizations and the culture today, as well as leadership tools, the power of words, mindset, so many things that they're very in depth. And it's filled with my stories as well. And it also has two workbooks that the users can benefit from that when they buy the book, they'll get the URL they can download to spur their personal growth. It's a huge gift.
Okay. And right now is it on pre-sale?
Pre-order? Yeah, we're in pre-sales. The publication day when the book ship is June 28th. So we're not that far away. I'm pretty excited.
That's good. I'm excited for you. It sounds like it's going to be a great book. I will definitely get my copy, and just excited for you and your book release. I'm sure that it will add value to everyone that reads it.
Definitely.
So you founded Candace May Training and Services. Can you tell me a little bit more about the company and the services you provide?
Absolutely. We're actually undergoing right now a kind of a branding reevaluation. So it may become Candace May Leadership Development, and with my tagline being Light the Way, because I light the way for leaders with skills in communication, attitude, relationships, emotional intelligence, and sales enablement. So helping people become their best selves is critical. We know leadership is what drives companies. It's what drives visions. It drives profits, right? And everything in business centers around individuals. It's people who do our accounting. It's people who do our sales. It's people who do the inventory stock, the janitorial service. Every aspect of your business really boils down to people, and how you engage them and relate with them is critical.
I like that. And I like what you said, light the way. That's so fitting, because as a leader, you know, I envision like a leader. One definition I really love for leadership or leader is a person who goes first. And when you are a person who goes first as a leader, it is your responsibility to light the way. So I really like that, what you said about lighting the way. And so with Candace May training and leadership, so you just provide services for, is it just leaders that take part in your services, or how are your services kind of laid out?
So my goal is to work with leaders who have teams, right? Because I believe that's where the biggest impact is. As I develop the leaders, they develop the leaders around them and their team. And we develop high performance teams. We get the communication ironed out. When people are working in silos, they're having personality conflicts, unproductive meetings, missing deadlines. All of these things are symptoms, right, of a toxic culture or challenges within the environment. So I like to take a toxic culture and create a warm and welcoming environment, right? So where people want to come to work and they're productive, they're working in their strengths. So helping people identify what their strengths are, helping them to identify the personality traits. There's four main personality traits, 41 combinated blends of the personalities. We all have all the elements within us, but some of our personality traits are higher in different areas than others. So when we take teams and we get them to communicate and understand how they're hardwired and what their strengths are, and make sure that they're working in their strengths, it becomes much more productive. The morale increases much higher in allowing them to learn how to embrace each other and appreciate what each other bring to the team is critical.
You're right. It's absolutely critical. Working with teams, because the better the we get as individuals, we become better teammates. And when we have better teams, the organization gets better. So everyone gets better when one person gets better, and then the whole team gets better. So I definitely like that. And so with that, so you have a model called CARES. Is that what you use with equipping and training these teams? Do you use that model?
I do. I believe everyone deserves to be led well. And CARES is my approach. I believe emotional intelligence is the core element that holds everything together, and it brings us our self-awareness and our self-management, how we regulate ourselves and control our impulses. Helps us become more socially aware to what's going on with people around us, and then how we manage those relationships. So emotional intelligence is a very big part of what I do and what I bring. And I believe it plays big into communication. And I think understanding the communication cycle, what that looks like, how it's two-way and how we interact with each other, and the understanding that we are people who need other people. We are needy, and it's not a weakness to be needy. It's a power place to understand that people need each other, and to understand what the nutrients of relationships look like, and what we should be doing to create a connection with each other on our team and support each other to really get innovative thoughts, follow through, collaborative work that is powerful and increases our productivity and our sales.
I agree. You're absolutely right. Because I don't think, and you hit on something, I don't think that we can be successful without each other. I don't think we can be successful without those relationships. I think about, that's one of the things, and I think one of the levels in the Maxwell's five levels of leadership, the relational piece, that's huge. Going from just, because it's one thing to kind of just work with people just because of your coworkers or your subordinates. But having that relationship, it changes the game. It changes the dynamics of what you're there doing. And it just makes everything different. So
it's about about appreciating and valuing each other also, because as a leader, we need to value the people who are working with us and for us, and realize that we want to make them a better person as well. They're not there to serve us as a leader, right? I mean, some leaders think you're just here to do whatever I want, and their communication is all transactional, and they're not really connecting with the individuals or valuing them as a whole person. And I think that makes a huge difference, especially as we've gone through the pandemic. People are tired of the old traditional culture, 9 to 5 in the workplace. I mean, we like the connection, that's true, but we're looking for more in life than just the rigidity of that corporate breaks. So I think corporate needs to embrace this new leadership style of compassion and leadership that cares.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think, and we see it today with the whole, what do they call it? The great resignation. Yes. Do you find with all of that going on, do you find that more of your clients or the people, are you getting more business because maybe some people are starting to realize, and some companies are starting to realize, hey, there's another way to do this thing. And it's a moment of clarity, and we need some training. We need something to show us how to do this thing, because we've gotten it wrong. Have you found that uptick in your business with that?
Yeah, I have seen some. So one of my clients likes to say it's a totally different world right now. There's nothing like it has ever been before, economically, politically, climately, anything. Everything's different. So, but I've also seen some business owners while they may have been very good a couple of years ago, right now they may be struggling with the team environment that they didn't struggle with as much before. And what you are at any given time shifts and changes. And right now, this particular client I have, we're working through employee retention, getting leadership development skills in place, because up until this point, it's been an autocratic style of leadership where what I say goes, just get on board or get out, right? And so now they're trying to embrace a much more leadership style model of leadership and bring the team together. And it's a process. Change is a process. You know, anytime there's a team that comes together, there's the storming, the norming, and then the productivity element. So a new team always goes through these stages.
Okay.
And working through those elements. Yeah. Because people, they don't want to be disrespected. They don't want to be a tool per se. They want to be about something bigger. They want to be appreciated for their skills and allowed to work in their strengths, not just do what I say and here's what you have to do. Right. You want to feel like you're participating and really engaged.
Right. You don't want to just feel like a number or a cog in the wheel. Especially today when people can, you know, people have a little more autonomy, and they're able to kind of pick up and go somewhere else where they are valued, and you know, the organization has values and they are exhibiting that servant leadership. 'Cause that's basically what you're talking about, is the servant leadership. And this whole dictator or authoritarian type leadership is definitely, it's certainly outdated, and it does not work today. So,
well, in some instances it might, but not overall, not in corporate America as much, but like in a very industrial environment, it might very well still be good. So just want to clarify, I think there's different styles of leadership depending on the environment, the work environment that you're in, that have to be brought into consideration. Definitely.
You're right. It's more like when you say industrial, like I guess like if you were on a machine that could kill you, there's no room for
exactly
interpretation there.
Right.
Right. Right. So I get it. I get it. So you're Teams is kind of a bread and butter, your bread and butter working with Teams. How are you finding in today's time? How are you finding I just thought of this question. In today's time with this whole remote work and things like that, how is that dynamic changing in actually how you see the teamwork thing, the aspect, and does that change any of your philosophy when you are training teams? So how is that dynamic playing out with, you know, what you're doing?
How is the dynamic of teams changing with the post-pandemic? Is that what you asked?
Yeah, with remote work. Mm-hmm. Because remote work is more, it's a thing now. And it's always been around, but it's definitely more of a thing now. And I know you work with teams and teamwork and kind of all of that.
Yeah.
How do you see, and I don't know if any of your material has changed to add in the remote element to it. I just want to get your thoughts on that and being in this remote environment and still creating a team where we have a good team culture and good teamwork.
I do a lot of virtual training. Yes, that's true. I also do in-person training as well. We have employers who are back to everyone's at the office, but then I have a couple clients who have majority in the office, but then some that are remote that are tapped in. So it's kind of a hybrid a lot right now. And so even team meetings can be, you know, held through virtual essence, or half the team together and then the other half pulling in through the virtual. I think having work groups together virtually is great. Keeps those people who are remote connected. They can come connect in for an hour or two. And even if they're independently working, they're there, they can look up, they can see their coworkers, they can take a break every hour and have a short chat. It builds connectivity. It's been pretty powerful. There's something about the synergy and energy level that's there, and a sense of accountability that you're not alone, your team is right there. So other than just having to show up on a meeting and be involved in a Zoom, having these work groups is great. Having the shared technologies where you can work on the same documents together is very powerful for teams, remote teams. Having meetings and structure to get productivity in those meetings is critical also. So bringing in some of the agile skill sets of how to have a quick stand-up meetings, how to have some standard check-in questions to keep everybody on the same topic and point each day or once a week, depending on what kind of project you're working in or what industry you're working in, it may or may not apply. But there's definitely some tactics and tools we have to help people who have hybrid or virtual teams.
Okay. Definitely. Okay. Yeah, because I think I think some businesses or owners may be reluctant to kind of embrace this whole remote thing because of they may think that teamwork may suffer, or, you know, productivity may suffer. And are you finding any of that, or are you a believer that no, this can definitely work and it's here to stay? And so just, you know,
I believe there's pros and cons to each. I do believe that there is some need to have people come together, especially at various times. But I do believe the virtual work can be successful. People are, again, it's going to depend on the type of work they're doing, and it's going to depend on the personality of the individual. So if somebody who's a very high I personality, who's very people oriented, very much engaged and talkative, or an outside processor and has to think out loud, they're going to need to be around people more, or connected through Zoom all day, you know, numerous times a day, versus somebody who is much more compliant and research focused and or a programmer who's doing a lot of coding, they probably can do well working alone and just connecting with their team, even remotely at various times, right? So again, it's depending on the personality. I have several clients who work remotely right now. And like I said, I have another client, they've got maybe 8 in the office and the other 8 are remote.
Okay.
And then I've got an office of 44 and most of those are in the office except for those that are out in the field, who are specifically always out in the field for the nature of their work, more of a construction work.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, let's talk a little bit about personal development. Why do you feel personal development and growth? Why do you feel that it's essential for everyone, and especially for leaders? Why do you feel that it's an essential thing that we need to do is to develop personally?
John Maxwell has the book 21 Laws of Leadership. It came out in the 90s, so it's like, I don't know, 25, 30 years old. He's rewritten it. One of his laws is the law of the lid. And that says that a leader's productivity or business growth is going to be capped by the level of leadership skills that the leader has. So if you have leadership skills from a 0 to a 10, so if you have leadership skills from a 0, not very good, to a 10, which is high, right? And you're at a leadership level 5, average, his law would say that that leader's leadership ability being a 5 would prevent anyone going above a 4. So you can see where that would really hold back the organization from growing or expanding. And what the leader has to grow their skill sets and their self-awareness, their emotional intelligence, their ability to see relationships. As they grow higher, then the people around them will grow higher as well. Also, when you have stronger self-awareness and social awareness and self-management, self-regulation, which are all part of emotional intelligence, you will see much more opportunities in the business world. Self-awareness is critical because as you become more aware of the thoughts going on inside of you and what's going on around you and being able to read people, your intuition rises. Just you see opportunities that otherwise you would not have seen before. You can kind of get into the root cause evaluations of things much easier than when you're lacking that awareness. Does that help?
Yeah, that definitely helps. And you're right. You're right. An organization cannot, the people can't go past the leader because the leader is the leader. The leader sets the pace. And
they won't even let them. Subconsciously, they're going to have a hold on them. Have you ever been in a work environment where you have the ability and skill set to perform higher than you're allowed to?
Yes.
That's what happens.
And it's frustrating.
It's extremely frustrating. It's like hitting a brick wall. Like I'm putting forth all this effort. If I don't care, why should I care if my leader doesn't care? Why, you know, people do what people see, right? And the leader's ability will hold down the rest of the people around them. That's why people leave. People don't leave companies. They leave bad bosses. They leave limitations, right? People want to be stretched. They want to be able to use their full skill set. You know, I have seen numerous people. I have clients now that we're working with where they get a supervisor assigned to them and that supervisor is intimidated by their skill set and they squelch them as much as possible, intentionally or not intentionally. We have to expand that leader's ability so that they're not micromanaging, so that they're allowing people to rise up to the level that they have the potential to rise to.
Right. Okay. So, and I've heard you talk a lot about emotional intelligence. It sounds like that's pretty important. And it sounds like, you know, it definitely something that can impact everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they used to say your IQ was the most important thing when I was a kid. In the public schools, they had the gate education where gifted students who had high IQ, which is math and reading and science skills, they would put them in a gate program to really emphasize that their strengths, because they thought they would be the leaders of tomorrow. But through years of follow-up, they found out that it's not necessarily about your IQ that's going to determine your success in life. Your EQ, emotional quotient, your emotional intelligence, will more successfully indicate your level of success in life than your IQ ever will. Because your emotional intelligence is how you're seeing yourself. You can't outperform your own self-image. And how you're engaging, how you regulate yourself, making decisions requires self-management, self-regulation. Relationships, how you're working with other people requires self-management, right? And being aware of emotions and reading people's feelings and emotions. Like it or not, people don't buy on logic. People buy on emotions. So a lot of business and decisions are made on emotion. We're emotional beings. We're spiritual beings, first and foremost. So I think it really is critical to understand that and not just dismiss, oh, emotions are cushy-ishy things that, you know, everybody get around the campfire and sing kumbaya. It's real. We're emotional beings. So when we understand emotions, we understand the power of emotions, how to use those emotions and connect with other people is critical.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you think it doesn't matter how much you know, you know, your intellect. It's, you know, if you don't have that emotional intelligence, you're like a bull in a china shop, you know, and you're just banging into everyone, and your organization is going to suffer, and in your personal life as well.
Right.
That's
the beauty of personal growth. When like an employer invests in developing themselves and the leaders around them in their company, they're not only growing those individuals and expanding the power and depth of their business, those people's lives are being changed, and those people take those skills home with them. So families are improved, communities are volunteer work or community, all of those are improved when we take the time to invest in our people. And I think that's where the value is in all of this, that we're changing our world. We're changing who I am. We're changing who my leaders around me are. We're increasing my business. And we're in effect, through ripple effects, changing the world.
You're right. And that's what leadership is all about. That is what leadership is all about. And that kind of leads to my last question. We as leaders, we can have all of the success and the accolades, and we can achieve things. However, I'd like to define success as what you do for yourself, what you achieve. And then there's significance, and the significance is more of what you do for others. What is your impact? And so success is good, but if we want to go after significance and what are we doing for others? My question is because success is good as well. You want to be successful and you want to be significant, because I don't think you can. I don't know if you can have, you can't have significance without success. So you have to be successful in order to be significant and be impactful. So how do you, because sometimes I guess people think that you got to sacrifice one for the other. Like, if I'm going to be successful for myself, then there's no way I can serve other people, you know? So
Zig Ziglar says, help other people get what they want, and you'll get what you want in the process. You know, it's like the tide raises all boats, right? So when we're growing and we're improving who we are, we're taking the time to become better communicators, to really connect with other people, to focus on gratitude, to build our skill sets. And we naturally will grow the people around us, because how we impact other people, the outcome's going to change, right? So, and how we, if leaders are developing other leaders around them, that's where the significance comes from, because it's like multiplication. Like you can say 2 + 2 = 4, but when it comes to synergy and significance, it's multiplication, you know, on steroids. When people come together with an idea, you and I come together and we start thinking and planning, we come up with more ideas than either one of us would come up with alone, right? So it's not 1 + 1 = 2, it's 1 + 1 = 15. It's the synergy that happens. And it's that significance that becomes powerful. I think the significance really happens at the point where you've been successful, you've lived your life, you've got the resources to give back, to contribute to society. And instead of just retiring and sailing off into the sunset, enjoying your life for your own sake, you take all that experience and that you have, and you extend it further. That's where the significance really comes, where it starts expanding and multiplying significantly amount at that point, because now you've accumulated your resources, your wealth, your knowledge, your experience, and you've probably got a team around you that help make you successful. And 1 is too small a number to do anything of significance. But when you get a large group of people, that's like the Maxwell Leadership Program, right? This is a group of people who all have like-minded goals and visions to change the world, to be better leaders, to make change in a positive way. And that all came about because John was at the point where he could have retired. And instead, he decided to invest more in more people. And as a result, the group now goes to different countries and teaches values. And we were got ripple effects all over the world, 43,000 team members.
Candace, it's been great. I've enjoyed our conversation. Again, you have your new book coming out. I'm so excited for you. Your new book, Heaven Within, Restoring Wholeness for Better Leadership. It's in pre-sale now. The book ships June 28th. So go get the book. Where can we go get that book?
You'll find the book on Amazon, Heaven Within by Candace May, Heaven Within, Restoring Wholeness for Better Leadership. You could also go to my website, Candace May, CandaceMae.com. And you'll find it an author speaker page. You'll find the book there and a link to purchase it, and lots of resources there on my website. And I'd love to connect with you. So on my website, you can also find a way to make a meeting with me, a free 15-minute session just to answer any questions you might have or invest in you.
Okay. All right. So everybody go to Candace May's website, and I will also provide that link and the link to her website, the link to her book and all of that in the show description. Candace, it's been a joy. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry. I enjoyed being with you too.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Candace May. That's it. That's all I've got for this episode. Thank you again for tuning in. Listen, if you like the show, please rate it and leave a review in iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. If you're watching on YouTube, like it and share it with someone who you know will benefit from it. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe so that you can get the updated content when new episodes get released. Thanks again for tuning in to Leading the Best Podcast. I'm Larry Davis, and I'll see you again on the next episode.